I want to go to a very famous scripture in the Bible this morning. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. That's in the New Testament. Glory to God. Now you laugh at that. You'd be surprised how many people don't know where that's at. And some people never read the Bible. You know, we're from South Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana. That means you got to be Catholic at least once. That's the way it is. Not today. The Catholics are totally different. But when I was a kid, you were told, don't read the Bible. You'll go crazy. So we didn't read the Bible and we still went nuts. My wife never read the Bible till she was 20 years old. Never cracked a book. Never. I think 19 or 20 years old. Never. Because we were told not to read it. Because you need a priest or someone to help you understand it. Well, the first time I took a sneak peek of one of them Gideon Bibles one time in a hotel. And I thought, I can understand this. They've been thinking I'm stupid for years. I'm not. We begin to read the Word of the Lord. Thank God today they're urged to read the Word of God and to get into the Word and the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus is doing so many wonderful things. Romans chapter 8. I want to start reading. Well, let's start reading with verse 29. Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he also did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, the most powerful word in that verse is who. See, no one can even come up to the word who. Because of what's inside of you and what's around you and what's upon you. Not only do you have the power of the Holy Ghost and the personality of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, but you also have God's armor on, a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith, your loins girded about with truth, a sword of the Spirit in your hand, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So on the inside, you're in good shape. On the outside, you're in good shape. Now notice that. See, the church world won't preach that to you very much because they think Satan can do anything he wants. And that's simply not true. He's rejected, restricted, and bound by your knowledge of the Word of God. Jesus said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So I realize if I don't understand this Word of God, gentlemen, then the devil can eat my lunch. Then the devil can do things to me that I think God's doing. Trying to perfect me, and at the same time, I'm getting killed. See? But once we have an understanding of what God says in His Word, that doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble. People ask me all the time, do you ever have trouble? Yes. Well, you smile all the time. Well, I tried sad and I didn't like it. It ain't fun being sad. I don't care for sad. I like glad. I enjoy being happy. I enjoy laughter. You know, I was at one of Benny Hinn's crusades in Charlotte, North Carolina the other day, and just a few weeks passed, and he asked me to speak a few words, and well, we had a knockdown drag out. Lord, I got preaching a little bit and enjoying ourselves, and he came up to me and he said, you know, he says, I don't watch a lot of television, but I watch you. I said, thank you, Benny, I appreciate that. He said, I watch you and John Hagee. Yeah, I watch y'all. I really like your ministry. He said, but you know what I've noticed about you? I said, what? He said, you know, you're a very boisterous man. Yes. He said, but when you're not behind the pulpit and you're sitting there, you don't say too much. I said, I'm listening. Well, I came to listen. I came to hear. I came to cause my faith to grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's such a blessing. He said, I noticed that. He said, well, what happens when you get in that pulpit? I said, that anointing hits me just like it hits you. I said, then you begin to flow in the ministry that God called you to do. But, you know, some people think, you know, that we preachers walk around with halos. No, we people. We get mad sometimes. Just don't be around to see it. I mean, we're just human. People don't think we're human, but we are human. And here's another thing. People don't think preachers can make money. They say, can't make money. Why? Why not? Because see, if I make money, I'm going to be a blessing to all the families and the nations of the earth. I don't know why. I mean, Kathy talked to a lawyer the other day. He's coming down to my office. He's going to charge me $1,875 for one day. Plus expenses. To tell me what I already know. Now, how come he can make that and I can't? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. I thought, well, yeah, I'm just as intelligent as he is. Maybe maybe not in his field, but he ain't as intelligent as I am in my field. You understand what I'm trying to say? Jesus said we're more than a conqueror. So I conquered all what people say about ministers. I've had people say, I don't think they ought to do this and do that. Well, it may not be what you think, it's what God thinks. Now that may sound crude, but it's just simply the truth. See, we're God's children. We're not God's adults. We're God's children. That's why we laugh, we jump, we shout, we cry. There's some people fall on the floor and just laugh uncontrollably. They don't want to. They're trying not to, but the Lord's going, diggy, 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 diggy. He's just tickling them real good. Glory, got to goose them. Ooh, ooh, yeah. So I believe that. I remember years ago, those old Pentecostal jerks, they couldn't talk very long. They said, you know, God's good. That's the Lord going, doot, doot. Just blessing them real good. It doesn't bother the Lord. It bothers some people. But it doesn't bother God at all. He said we're more than conquerors. I want to deal with that. He said if we're more than conquerors, then we ought to be what he said. Now, if we're going to believe the Bible, we ought to live in it, walk in it. That doesn't mean the devil's not going to attack us. Some people don't think I have trouble. I got all kinds of trouble. But I'm not excited for the trouble. I'm excited that he's overcome the world. He said, and if God be for you, who could be against me? So I begin to find out, is God for me? And the Lord is for Jesse. He loves Jesse. You don't believe me? Just ask him. He'll tell you. He said, I love Jesse. Me and the Lord have great fun. We have great fellowship. We enjoy each other. He's for me. He's behind me. He's behind everything I do. Did it dawn to me? Everything I do is his work. No wonder he's behind me. He's behind me financially. He's behind me spiritually. He's behind me physically. He loves me. The devil mess with me, God will knock his brains out. Do you understand? He said, if I be for you, who can be against you? In other words, you want some of Jesse, you're going to have to walk through me first. Isn't that good? That's the same thing with you. See, God's for you. He's not against you. He's not here to beat your brains out. He's here to love you. He's trying to bless his people. His people will have the hardest time in the world being blessed. He tried to get the nation of Israel into the promised land, the land of more than enough. They was in Egypt, the land of not enough. They got to a place where the land of enough, and God's trying to get them to the land of more than enough. He's trying to get them to a land with milk and honey, but no, they won't go. And people think God's against prosperity. Well, why didn't he leave them in the desert? He wanted to get them to a land of milk and honey. He's trying to get them over there. So he said, meditate, Joshua, day and night. If you'll do this, everything you touch will prosper. Come on, cross the Jordan, move, get over to the land of milk and honey. That's what he's trying to do, his people. He's trying to be a blessing to his children like you are. How many of y'all want to bless children? Isn't it a blessing? But sometimes they're hard heads, you can't bless them. Not long ago, I wanted to give my daughter some money. I just wanted to be a blessing to her. Not a lot of money, you know, just a little. I said, oh, hey, Jody. I think it was $100 or something. I said, hey, Jody. She goes, oh, Dad, oh, no, you don't have to do that. I said, okay. I put my money back in my pocket and went spending on myself. She don't do that no more, though. She got a revelation. Now, I said, hey, Jody, I got an extra $100. You want it? Woo! Let's go, Dad. Now, you know, all I was trying to do is be a blessing. That's all I was trying to do. I don't know why people have a hard time with that. You see, if you just learn to say this, just say this, just say this, just say this. If you just say this, this will say something about you. If God be for you, who can be against you? When the devil goes to attack me here, God says, hey, devil, I'm here. Oh, excuse me, let's leave Jesse alone. Notice that. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, all how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Oh, glory, that's a good one. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I love that verse. When people try to accuse me of something, I go, whoa, I am God's elect. Get your mouth off of me. God said he'll bless those that bless me and he'll curse those that curse me. You about ready to get accustomed? Get away. That's the scripture, bro. That's Genesis 12. I'm preaching real fast because this is an hour sermon in 30 minutes. Hang on. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is given at the right, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Not only is God for me, he's praying for me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Woo, I like that. Shall tribulation? Boy, I've had a bunch of that, Dan. It didn't happen. Or distress? I've had a bunch of that. It didn't happen. Persecution? Whoa, man. I'm an evangelist from Louisiana. That's persecution. Hallelujah. Or famine? My God, I remember I preached and they didn't feed me. One time I had to go on a forced fast. They said, we're having revival. You can't eat. And I didn't. By the end of that week, I was trying to kill a roach. Get anything in my mouth. Bless God. Or nakedness. Well, I hadn't got that far yet. I hope I never have to achieve that. Bless God. Or peril of sword. Been through those things. I've had 357 magnums put in my face. Cock the trigger and say, if you say Jesus again, I'll blow your brains out. Ooh, if you're a Baptist, you will speak in tongues. If you Church of Christ, automatically you believe in healing immediately. If you're Catholic, you speak in Latin. I've had that happen to me. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, Lord, here goes again. We are more than conquerors through him. Through him. This is not your strength. This is through him. That loved us, through him that loved us. It is said, through him that tests us, through him that hates us, through him that beats us. He said, through him that loves us. That's all he said, loved us. If you obey God, you'll never see his judgment side. Think about that. If your children obey you, they won't get spanked or punished if they just go do what you told them to do. But no, no, no. It takes a stick or a fist in the head to get them to do something. If they just go obey. It's a simple word, obey. It's a word most people don't like because it means commitment. Verse 38. For I am persuaded. Now this is Paul talking. That neither death nor life. Now this boy faced death and he faced life. Some people it's harder to face life than this face death. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the anointed and his anointing, Jesus our Lord. I made up my mind that God loves me. Now what the devil's trying to do is separate me from him. But I made up my mind, why should I be separated from someone that I love and someone that loves me? Me and Kathy have been married 25 years. We've never separated once. Never. I mean, you know, I have some of my family members that separated and divorced and remarried and separated and divorced and remarried and separated and divorced. We've never done that. I mean, me and Kathy has never said, that's it, Jack, I'll see you later, bye. Now, we do have very loud discussions sometimes. We don't argue, we just have loud discussions sometimes, you know, and because she will not listen to me. And so I try to talk louder than she does, but her voice is higher. I said, listen to me. Did you hear what the vow said? Obey. I try everything I can. It don't work. You do everything you can. She said, if you would listen to me, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I said, that's why we having this conversation, because you're not listening to me. After a while, I forget what I'm arguing about. I'm in that state of confusion, as Pastor Dan says. Now, you see, I am a conqueror, but she is more than a conqueror. That's the truth. She is more than a conqueror. That's right. And it winds up. And she said, and then when she gives me the glory for it, well, really, you thought of it. Now, don't lie, woman. Yeah, I really did. Yeah, I'm going to accept that, receive that. I'm talking about the more than conqueror's life. I have many opportunities to fail. I just don't take any. I got many opportunities to criticize people. I don't do that. I don't care what they do. People are always asking me about what people's other ministries, you know. What do you think about T.D. Jakes' ministry? What do you think about Rod Parsley's ministry? Or Benny Hinn's ministry? Or Kenneth or Gloria Copeland's ministry? Or Dan Hagin? It don't make a lick of difference what I think about. It's what God Jehovah thinks about it, ladies and gentlemen. See, I got enough work to do on my own, much less trying to become a judge of someone else's ministry. You understand what I'm saying? I'm more than a conqueror. If God be for me, who could be against me? So when the devil comes as a flood, I just get on my surfboard. I get in my boat, my God, and I just keep going until the next day. I live for Jesus day by day, not week by week, day by day. I get up in the morning, I'm all excited. Woo! God, what are we going to do today? Sometimes he tells me, I don't know. What are we going to do? I said, you mean to tell me you don't know? He said, no, I don't know, because you're my hands and you're my feet. You're my mouthpiece. Will we heal the sick today? Will we raise the dead today? Will we cast out devils today? Will we freely give today? Will we freely receive? What are we going to do today, Jesse? Are we going to be defeated? Or are we going to be more than a conqueror? Let's go, boy. And I'll tell you what, I get in that mirror and go, dun, 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 dun. Look out, devil. Putting on that helmet of salvation. This ain't Rocky. This is Jesse. The more than conquers life. But you see, the Lord can't fully bless a person till he fully conquers him. You understand what I'm saying? That's the problem. There's some things in our life that don't want to be conquered. So we're waiting for God to conquer them, but we won't let him conquer them. The Lord can't fully bless what he can't fully conquer. God can't fill what he can't have. There's been some things that I wouldn't allow the Lord to touch in my life. I said, no, I'll handle that. And that's the thing that needed to be fixed. Don't look at me weird. You do the same thing. There's some things. The Lord began to deal with me about my temper. You know, I'm a sharp man, but I can flat get mad. I blamed it on Tabasco sauce for years. I said, Mama put it in Cajun baby bottles of mine. That's what it is, Lord. He said, no, it's just pure flesh. Get angry. I don't know why I get mad driving a car. Why does every slowpoke got to get in front of me? Why? I mean, I get in a plane, and there's another plane slower than mine in front of me. I said, what's happening? Well, we got to slow us down because of traffic. Get them out of the way! You know how it is. And I had the Lord's dealt with. I said, Lord, you don't understand these things because you don't drive. You have been on these interstates. He said, oh, yes, I have. I've been on the interstate longer than you have. I have had the devil to try to kill you on them interstates, and I've stopped him from doing it. With your mouth of yours, you almost succeeded in getting yourself killed. And one time I got so mad at a woman, my God, man, she did something stupid. You know, she just turned on the blinker, and she just come over. Half my car was by her door. I slammed the brake. I thought, what's the matter with that crazy woman? I said, that's it, Jack. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. I don't care. Whoa, man. I rolled my window. I went, hey. And the lady said, hey, Brother Jesse. Oh, glory to God. How you doing, sister? God bless you. God bless you, my dear. I was embarrassed. Boy, I was all flushed in the face. She said, oh, you're praying? I said, yeah, I'm praying not to kill you. That's what I'm praying for. Bless God. I could hear the Lord going, nah, 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 nah. You ever notice every time you blow it, somebody around that knows you? I say, devil, get out of my car! I'm more than a conqueror. If God be for me. He said, now, Jesse, you're going to have to give me that temper. Oh, Jesus. I said, if you take my temper, you don't want to sin, do you? I said, my temper. He said, you have to give it to me. You don't have to let me conquer it. Now, how does he conquer it? I don't like what he does to conquer it. He makes me render good for evil. Oh, Jesus. Somebody steal from you, rip you off. Boy, you feel a Tabasco sauce coming up. Or some woman start looking at your husband and your claws go... Oh, Jesus. Your husband acting like a dog. Well, that lady must have experienced that over there. Boy, I'm telling you, and it's coming up on you strong. And the Lord says, bless her. Bless her? I'm going to bless her with one of these upside her head. No, you can't do that. That's how you get anger and things conquered. You render good for evil. It's not easy at times. See, but God made you more than a conqueror. In fact, he's already seen the end result of that temptation, test, and trial. You've already went through. I've had the devil tell me, you shouldn't read the word of God. I said, let me tell you something, devil. This word, every one of these words are mine except two. He said, what? I said, every one of these words in the Bible is mine, bless God, but two of them are for you. He said, which two is mine? I said, the one that says the end. That's yours.
Mine says the beginning.
Yours is the end. If God be for you, who could be against you? So the Lord can't fully bless, but he can't fully conquer. God can't fill what he can't have. Now, let me tell you something. People get mad at prosperity. Prosperity is a tool given to mankind to be a blessing, not just to be blessed. You know what God said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. That's 3 John 2. But you know, John didn't write that. Now, I know in the Bible it says to my beloved friend Gaius, but you see what you don't understand. He started writing out to Gaius and wound up writing to me. Do you understand that? Yeah, that letter was to Gaius in his time. In his mind, he thinks he's writing to Gaius. God arrests his mind and he winds up writing to Jesse. Do you know these letters were wrote to me? Well, how do you know that? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So in other words, I start reading Romans. See, Paul's writing to the church at Rome and winds up writing to Jesse in New Orleans. It's living word. Just say this, it's living word. Now, when you see that and understand that, it'll work for you. I realize something. Yes, they may be writing to Rome. He may be writing to Gaius, but he winds up writing to me. So what God is saying, Jesse, beloved, I'm the beloved. Jesse, I wish, God, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I believe I've said this here before. You know why, God? You ever notice in that verse he connected healing and prosperity together? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Why? Because you can't enjoy one without the other. You understand? I don't care how healthy you are. If you ain't got no money, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't doing nothing. And yet you can be filthy, 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 filthy rich and be so sick you can't get out your house. But he connected prosperity and health together in that one verse. Why? Because you can't enjoy one without the other. God wants you prosperous. He wants you healthy. See, he wants you to be more than a conqueror. Yeah, but Brother Jesse, I live with an unsaved husband. Shout, you're greater than he is. Why you say that? Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. But he gives me such trouble. Well, let the Lord conquer that in your life. Why don't you see the scriptures to see him? What does the scripture say? That the believing spouse, you, sanctifies the unbelieving spouse, him. Sanctifies, yes, it means set apart. That means saved, he's set apart for salvation. The reason why the guy's so aggravated, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand something. He can't go to church with you because he don't like nobody here. Right? You ain't going with him nowhere in the world. He can't get along with the world and he can't get along with the church. The boy's in a bind. He's aggravated. Everywhere he goes, hey, go to church, he's aggravated. If he tries to go to the world, I ain't doing that stuff. He's aggravated with that. What has happened is God has sanctified him. What does that mean? Set him apart. Put him out the crowd, stuck him over here, and the Holy Ghost going, bam, 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 bam. Just beating sin off the boy. He's aggravated. But Jesus said that you got the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations. That's what he said. So you could say it like this. It's his tough luck that he married you. Because greater is he was in you than he was in the world. If God be for you, who could be against you? So as you let God conquer those different situations in your life, it flows. Now listen to this. More than conquerors immerse themselves in faith, number one, and in scripture. Now you see, you got to have faith to understand scripture. Faith cometh by hearing. There are a lot of people read scripture, don't understand any of it because they have no faith in it. See, more than conquerors immerse themselves in faith and in the scriptures. Faith must be exercised like a muscle. Faith like a muscle grows with stretching. I stretch my faith. Every January 1, me and Kathy take the Lord's table together, Pastor Dan, at my house in my breakfast nook there. Every January 1, New Year's Day, me and Kathy come before the two immutable things, the two unchangeable things. We take the bread and the wine and we take the Lord's covenant. We take the Lord's table. And you know what? We set goals. We will give more this year. We will bless more this year. We will do. We stretch our faith. We know what we did last year. Now this is what we're going to do this year. I would advise you to do that. Do that in your missions given and your tithe and your offerings. The other day I sold something that belonged to me. I already had done paid the tithe on it, Pastor Dan, on the money before I bought this thing. But when I sold this thing, I paid tithe on it again. Why'd you do that? Didn't have to. No, didn't have to. Not the issue. Faith, like a muscle, needs stretching. See, I have made up my mind. We come together through and under the two immutable things, and that's the blood and the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus. And I'll say, God, this is what we will do this year for you. The devil will fight us, but we're more than conquerors. And if God be for me, who could be against me? And then we set ourselves in agreement, pray the prayer of agreement together, and then we go on to do what God wants us and what we want to do for the Lord that year. And you know, we usually meet it usually by August. And brother, we stretched hard to get it. We thought, man, it's going to take a whole year to get that. Nah. By August, we was already finished. Now we're in the over and above. Isn't that wonderful? You see, that's faith. That's working, see? Now, we did that by standing on the Word of God. Now, I want to show you something. See, all God ever wanted His people to do was just say this. I want you to see this here. Give me a handheld mic, if you don't mind. Just give me a hand and put it on there, Pastor Dan, real quick, and keep it on for the people. I want to show you something. You may be seated, Pastor Dan. Now, watch this. Watch this now. Now, I'm going to show you something. All God ever wants you to do is just say this. Say this. I don't know why people get mad at you when you just say this. Now, I'm going to do a little example here, and this is going to bless you. When you just say this, people get mad at you. Who do you think you are? Nothing. You're just saying this. You're not denying anything. You're just saying this. Now, Pastor Gary Bohannon, I'm going to use you as an example. Sit there. Sit there. Sit. Sit. Glory to God. How much you take this mic? Is it on testing? Testing. Okay, good. Now, I want to tell you something that has happened. In fact, get up, Gary. Come on. Let's go out here where people can see you. Come on. Let's take the chair. I'll show you something, Gary. Okay, sit right here, Gary. Pastor. Now, he's a man of God. The devil has come up before God and accused this man of things. The devil is an accuser. Now, there's a court case coming here. The father is sitting in judgment or sitting in the judge's seat. Now, I'm going to play the part of Jesus, which is your advocate, your lawyer. Okay. Now, I'm also playing the prosecutor, which is your devil that's going to try to, who's accusing you, trying to get you thrown in jail. So the devil's come up with all kind of trash. Now, any good lawyer, any defense lawyer will always tell his client what to say. Right. He's going to gruel him and tell him what to say. So I'm going to act like Jesus and I'm going to say, Gary, the devil's come and accused you. We're in this court of law today. Now, what I want you to do is just say this.
Okay.
Just say this. Gary, don't say nothing else but this. We don't tell you to deny anything that prosecutor says. Just say this. In other words, if he asks you something, and just say this. Think of a scripture. Just say this. I have never lost a case, and I'm not going to start with you. You got it?
Yes.
But if you say what you think, if you say what you feel, if you say what you think might happen, we're going to lose. Remember, the judge don't care what that prosecutor says.
Right.
He cares about what you say. He's going to judge you by what you say. Just say this. Ain't no telling what that devil going to say. Just say this. You got that? Now, if you can't say, if you go to say something and I don't think it's right, I'm going to object. I'll shut you down and shut the case down quick. Just say this. Is that correct? In other words, if he asks you anything, come up with a scripture. You know something about the word, don't you?
Something.
Okay. Glory to God. That's very important. All right. Just say this. Now watch this. Okay, look, he's opening his Bible now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. I'm the prosecutor. His is the devil's side. Mr. Bohannon, we have some accusations against you. We'd like you to state your name for the record.
Gary Bohannon.
From where?
From Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. All right. I'd like people to understand here that we've accused this man of things that we feel he's done. And we're going to cross-examine him. And I know his lawyer, Jesus, is over here and may object to everything I say. But this is, I have an accusation that I must bring before this council, this high council. Mr. Bohannon, is it a fact? Is it a fact that times, I know you believe in healing. And I know you believe, but isn't it a fact sometimes? Is it a fact that you got cancer in your body? Tell us, is that true? Is that true? Huh? Is that true?
By his stripes, I am healed.
Wait, 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 wait. Order in the court. Order in the court. Now, Jesus over here going, get down with your bad self, Garrett. That's good. Okay. I said, notice this. You notice he didn't deny sickness in his body. He just said this. You notice if that would have been, he didn't deny that. He just said this. Mr. Bohannon, I do know at times that you struggle financially. I do know it at times you give to this church, you give those tithes and them offering stuff, when you could be using that more for your family and all that kind of. What do you say to that charge, sir?
You reap what you sow.
Yes, but you see, the devil don't know what to say. You understand? He's being shut down by the word of God. So he's train of thought, trying to get into a channel where he can condemn this man. Notice the judge ain't saying nothing. He's only want to hear what he has to say. Not what the prosecutor has to say. What Gary has to say. Now, I heard you say, sir, at times that you believe for finances for your kids and college and stuff like that. Do you honestly believe that that will come to pass?
God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Are you married, sir?
Yes, I am.
Isn't that times you got ugly thoughts about your wife? You like to beat her brains out? Come on, tell the truth, huh? Is it true? Is it true? I object! I object! Say this, love never faileth.
Love never faileth.
Are you hearing me? You see, he's trying to get him to say what he thinks, what he feels. But he's just saying this. Finally, the prosecutor, Satan, is so aggravated. Judge, how does he plead? You say this. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over my life. Glory to God.
Amen.
I plead it. He's a free man. Then Jesus jumps up and says, my heavenly Father, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. Greater is he who is in him than he who is in the world. He just said this. Did you get that? Thank you, Gary. He just said this. Why does everybody get mad when you say this? I'm not denying sickness, gentlemen. I'm not denying financial trouble. I'm not denying all I can. I'm just saying this. Well, why do you say that? Because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's why I say this. That's the more than conqueror's life. I'm not denying anything. Gary didn't deny nothing. He may have felt sick. He may have had to believe God for college tuition, all kinds. But he's just saying what the word of God said. Now, why should some dumb theologian come up there and say, that ain't right? What are you going to base your theses on? Just say this. My husband, he's such a sinner. Just say this. What does the word of God says about your husband or about your children or about your wife? Say faith like a muscle. It's like a muscle. It grows with stretching. Now, when you understand the more than conqueror's life, you dwell in the state of perpetual enthusiasm. People ask me all the time, he's got that smile. That's enthusiasm. I already read the end of the book. I already know I've won. You see what I'm saying? This ain't Jeopardy. This ain't that, what's the name of that crazy, are you, Wheel of Fortune? No. I'm an heir with the Father. A joint heir with you. Well, wait a minute here, Reverend Duplantis. What makes you think you got that inheritance on this earth? Well, the only way you receive an inheritance is if somebody dies. Right? Is that correct? Jesus died. I have my inheritance. I can live on the earth like I'm living in heaven. So don't crucify me. Get mad at me. I just received my inheritance. You're still waiting to go to the courthouse to get yours. And the reason why, because you don't understand the will. And the will says, I'm a son of God. I'm not the son of God, but I am a son of God. So I receive my inheritance here. The only thing different between Jesse Duplantis here and Jesse Duplantis in heaven is one thing only, glorified body. Tall, glorified body. Tall, glorified body. Yes. Well, you can't live like that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done. Thy will be done, thy will be done on earth, thy will be done on earth, thy will be done on earth, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what are you doing, Brother Jesse? I'm doing his will on earth like as if I'd be in heaven. So when I get to heaven, I won't have to learn it because I've learned it here. You got that? That's what it's all about. Now this is simple. And when you understand that, then you stay in a state of perpetual enthusiasm. Your exhilarating effect on people is like wine on the body. That's why you see get people full of the Holy Ghost. They get to go, whoo, yeah, whoo. Oh, I love black people. They go, oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus. They do that sometimes. I like that myself. Lord and God. Yeah, they swing around. They enjoy that. It's an exhilarating effect. Even people don't believe in it go. You'll never see nobody dancing in the spirit to bringing in the sheaves. How you gonna dance in the spirit? Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come. James Brown. Whoa, I feel good now. You don't dance to bringing in the sheaves. You're trying to figure out what a sheave is. What are you doing up there this morning? More than conqueror. I could say this. Won't you help me? Oh, geez. Hold my hands up. If I don't hear from you, I'm going down. Well, I ain't giving to nothing going down. I'm giving to something going up. How can you say that? I just say this. This is my manual. Why do you have a testimony? Because I've had a test. So now I got a testimony. I passed the test. You see what I'm saying? Now, ladies and gentlemen, this was all done 2,000 years ago before any of you people were born. What makes you say that? If you have an imaginary Christ, you will have an imaginary salvation. That's the problem with people that have an imaginary Christ or an imaginary anointing. You'll have an imaginary salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been saved since September, Labor Day weekend, 1974, since about 8:45 at night, on a Saturday night, Labor Day weekend, 1974. I had a man say, well, Brother Jesse, you ever thought about backslide? What in hell do I want? I preached that sermon. Don't get shook. People went, ooh, that woke you up, didn't it? And why does people backslide? What in hell do they want? You know, I tried hell. It ain't no good. That's why I haven't committed those sins. See, the Lord says I don't have to sin every day. Church says I do. Actually, religion says I do. Jesus says, I don't. He said, go sin no more. That's before he died. How much better today after he resurrected? So I don't have to do that. So if I see a pretty lady, I can say, that's a beautiful woman, but I don't want the woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? You might see a good looking man and say, that's a hunk of a guy. Well, maybe true, but you don't want the guy. You understand? It's when things begin to seed into your heart to get in sin, see? So I got decided, is she worth going to hell over? No. Is he worth going to hell over? No. There's nothing in hell that I want. I came out of hell. And I want to tell you something. As a baby, I was more than a conqueror. I knew just enough to be dangerous. So I drooled all over the devil. You understand? I burped in his face and vomited all over his clothes. I was a baby Christian. I was just a baby Christian. I'd brother, when you told me to bail out, you know how you can take a baby and say, jump, boy, baby go. Son, my pastor told me to jump, I jumped. I was a baby Christian. I mean, I like to give the devil heart attacks. In a Denny's, and I close with this, in a Denny's, my pastor had a heart for souls. So we're eating eggs. Brother, all you had to do was just touch me. I was on fire. All of a sudden, I'd see tears come in his eyes. He'd go, "Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus." His name was Brother Rayford. I see Brother Rayford, and there was four other guys with me. He said, "Oh, God, there are people in Denny's not saved. They're not saved. They're not saved." He didn't care if he were. He cried. The Lord was, "Oh, Jesus." That's all it took for me. I jump up and go, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." My God, you hear forks and knives and dropping, hitting plates. All I knew was, "You've been weighing the balances and found want. You're going to hell." My other friend with me, he'd jump up and say, "That's the truth." And he said, "Tommy, that's all he ever said." Say what you want, we got people saved. We may have scared the hell out of them, but we got them saved. I know that sounds a little crude, but people didn't know what to do. It's on tape. I'll never forget one man. He just dropped his fucking, "Oh!" He was just trembling. I said, "You want to get saved?" He went, "Guess I have to." I said, "Yes, you have to." Led him to the Lord. People were nervous around us. Now that's a little bit extreme. But some people, that's the only way they're going to get saved. See, anything, you mention anything about Jesus set me off. I was kind of the leader of them four boys. Pastor Reverend made me that. It didn't take long. One time, one more, I could tell you, it's so funny. We went, he's going, "We're going to go preaching, Pastor Schaefer. We're going to go preach on the street." "Preach on the street, son?" We run down the street preaching to people. Now, I know that doesn't seem like the normal church setting, but these people wasn't going to church, so we had to run to get them. They wasn't going to church. These were heathens, man. So he said, "I got to mail a letter." So he stopped at the post office. All four of us sitting in the van. We're talking about the Word of God. Speaking in tongues in between each sentence. You know, we was pumping up. We had one friend, he said, "Supposed to be spit in our face." I said, "Wipe it off and keep preaching." That's what I told him. He said, "Oh, man, I don't know if I can." I said, "They spit in Jesus' face." And then Thomas said, "Supposed to hit us with a stick." I said, "We'll bleed for Jesus. Come on! Make no difference to us. We'll be persecuted. Woo!" I'm talking smoke, boy. We're burning. All of a sudden, Brother Rayford didn't come out. We said, "Where's Brother Rayford?" So Tommy said, "You might go in there and see where the pastor is." I walked in there. I said, "Well, y'all come on with me." We all walked in there. There's Brother Rayford laying on the floor of the post office, crying. People, serious, standing in line to get stamps for the letters. There's Brother Rayford. "Oh, Jesus. I'll save these people." That was it. I went, "Wah!" Old Tommy went up, put his foot up against the door so they couldn't get out. And my only sermon I knew, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Now you can imagine a pastor laying on the floor, a guy ain't gonna let you out, and a wild, crazy man telling you to repent. We had people doing this kind of stuff, bless God. Some people have prayed on the pearls on people's necks. They're just trying to get out of that. I am not exaggerating. We were wild. What did you have? Zeal. We ain't had no sense, but we had some zeal. You know what made us do that? More than conquerors. I'm remembering these things. I had a guy by mistake on the street come up to me to give me a track. I had my Bible. He didn't see my Bible. Say, "I want to give you this track about Jesus." I slapped that. I said, "Let me give you the whole Bible, boy." I slapped the whole Bible and he goes, "Ooh, Jesus, yeah." Son. We've done better. We've calmed down a little. But I tell you what, we made the devil so nervous. We had pastors from our church that said, can you get them five guys, four of us, counting by reference, be five, those four boys to come over here and charge us up? We short-circuited some of them. One more, we had a Baptist pastor. He loved this. He had such a heart for evangelism, but he's embarrassed. He says, I don't know if I can do this with you guys. I said, just close your eyes. Ain't nobody going to see you. Come on. We got the pastor, Baptist pastor's hand is dragging him around. He's going, oh, Jesus, do you need to be saved? Do you need to be saved? He was so embarrassed. He's scared his deacon see it. I told him he had one of them deacon-possessed churches. That's the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, we didn't get depressed. We didn't get despondent. We didn't get sick, neither. We didn't have time for any of that. We were touching people for Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Have a revival and 170 people get saved and Pastor Schaefer, 160 of them join the church the next week. That's instant growth. Didn't make us any difference. That's right. Doctors, lawyers, clerks, painters. We didn't care if he was rich or poor. We just gave you Jesus. And we still do that. So I hadn't run down the street in a while. I ran in the airport a couple of times. But the other day my pastor said, Jesse, you got to come back for Mardi Gras. It's in you, man. People spitting at you, you don't care. Well, I'd rather get by the saved. They spit in Jesus' face. I asked the Lord about that one time, and I close with this. It's my last closing. I said, Lord, I don't like people spitting in my face. He said, I didn't like it neither. I'll never forget the Lord saying that to me. He said, he spit in my face. I didn't like it neither. I guess they didn't like it either. It's all right. Don't let that bother you. It's liable to jump on you. Oh, no, please, no. See, some people don't believe this, but it's going to get them. It's going to get them. Well, some people get in the flesh. That's all right. We got a flesh room. We'll bring them to the flesh room. That's all right. It's just wonderful. See, y'all don't know what I'm going to do next. I can see it. Y'all going... Ain't no telling what you do today when you eat lunch. Repent! Now I done forgot the story I was going to tell. It's not a story, it's a true story. These things that I'm telling you are true stories. We had no other choice. See, to touch people for Jesus. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh God. You people watching my television on this video. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Pull it closer to me, sweetheart. Come on. Is that a man? I don't know who that is. Hang on a second. That guy is behind that camera. Oh, pull it closer to me, sir. I thought it was a girl. You don't know my Jesus today? You can meet him. This is not a show. You see, when I first came out, I had this blue suit on, white hair. You thought, he kind of quiet guy, isn't he? The same Jesus that these people receive today, the same Jesus that you can receive when you watch this, wherever it's played. You say, but it might be a film. This Bible's over 2,000, actually almost 4,000 years old, and the anointing of God's still all over it. Why can't we put the anointing of God on film? Say it's the same thing. It's His Word. Yes, it's His Word. It's His Word. His Word. Oh, thank you. I ask you to bow your heads. I ask you to close your eyes. Now remember, we're not late. We've gained an hour. My friend, Jesus truly loves you, and so do I. I don't know how else to express that to you than to let my joy come out. That anointing that God has given me. It's wonderful to be happy. There's so many sad people in the world. But Jesus came to give you life. If you don't know my Jesus this morning, I couldn't think of a greater day to get saved than today. You know, if I could get saved twice, I'd get saved today again. That's how much I enjoy the Lord. But you can't crucify Jesus twice. But if I could, I'd go back to the throne and say, just save me again, Lord. He said, you're already saved. But it's so wonderful to know my friend Jesus. I ask you to bow your heads in reverence to God, a holy God. I ask you to close your eyes in reverence to the individual maybe standing by you. If you don't know Jesus today and you'd like to get saved for the very first time, would you give me the honor of walking to the throne of God with you? It's so simple. Say, Lord, a newborn baby is born into your kingdom. It's wonderful to hear babies cry and babies laugh. They're such blessings. But I won't just stop there. Maybe you're in this building or you're watching my television. No, you're not backslidden to hell by no means, but you're not living the way you should live. And you need to draw closer to Him. Some people call it rededicate. I call it drawing nigh. Now you see, ladies and gentlemen, I used to not say that at all in an altar call. Because I always wanted to throw that net out for that first time salvation until the Lord arrested my mind. And He said, Jesse, always speak to that second person. And I said, why, Lord? He said, I'm just as excited when a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter comes home as I am when a newborn baby is put into my kingdom. So that's the reason I am doing this. Because the Lord loves you. Maybe a Christian hurt you. Pastor Bohannon told me that Pastor Jake's talk preached on Mephibosheth. That somebody dropped him. Maybe somebody dropped you. That's true. Maybe somebody hurt you. I don't know. But Jesus didn't. And He loves you. And I'm going to ask you to come back to God. So if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to get saved for the very first time, or if you're not where you should be with God and you need to draw closer to Him, would you lift your hand up? Thank you. I see your hand. Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. Yes, I see those hands. I see those hands. I see the hands up in the balcony. Yes, I do. Hands here on the floor. Way in the back there by the exit signs. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand way back there. Yes, sir. I see your hand here at the front. I see those hands. Yes. Way up there. I see them. Thank you. Way up in the balcony, almost to the last chair back there. Last pew. Excuse me. I see your hands. People all over. You people watching my television, let me tell you something. God will come where you are. I don't care if you're in a bar room. I don't care if you're in a hotel room. I don't care what you're doing. You tried everything else. If you give Jesus your life, He'll help you. I'm not talking religion here. I'm talking a new born again experience. Somebody that'll love you for who you are, but not for what you can do for them. Somebody that you will never lie to you will help you all the days of your life. You allow Jesus to become a part of your life. Just as these people here at Crossroads Cathedral here in Oklahoma City, Pastor Dan Schaefer, pastoring this church. What a blessing that He allowed us to be a part of this great camp meeting. Jesus loves you and so do I. Can I see one more hand? Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. I see that hand, sir. Yes. People all over the building. I want everyone to look at me. Head up and eyes open. You watching my television, do the same. You lifted your hand. That's an act of faith. That's an act of submission. Think about that. That's why I believe in lifting hands. It's saying, God, I receive you into my life. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this. It's 12:21. I know it's a little late, but we're letting the Baptists eat and the Methodists and the Episcopalians, which are wonderful people. Nothing wrong with that. So when we get a chance, then we'll come. God does everything in decency and honor. I'm going to ask every one of you, not some of you, every one of you that lifted your hand to get out of your seat and come stand at this holy altar. In front of everybody? Yeah, what's wrong with that? Amen. Jesus hung on a cross in front of everybody. Amen. Get out of your seat and come. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. If you're up in the balcony, you can walk down the sides. There's an exit right there. You come and line up here. And we're going to pray for you, bless you, minister to you. Come on, people, give them a good hand clap. They're coming from the balcony. They're coming from the main sanctuary floor. You come and line up here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody shout, somebody. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're in the balcony, it'll take you about a minute to walk down. Be the greatest walk you'll ever have in your life. I want to pray with you. We have ushers here and elders to minister to you. Let me say this. I want you watching my television to listen. I never lied to you. Had too many people lie to me. people would let me go to hell and they knew the word of God was true and wouldn't tell me, brother. I always wondered about that. That I could go to church and a minister know the truth and not tell me the truth. That still shocks me when I think about it. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus loves you. And the blood of Jesus does not cover your sin. The blood of Jesus washes your sin away. Never be remembered against you anymore. Makes it non-existent. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to say it with your heart and confess it with your mouth. I want everybody in the audience to pray this prayer. You watching by television? Here it is. This is it. This is it. This simple prayer. You know what God's saying? Open up the book, get the pens, we're going to write names. And then they're going to go out in heaven and build a house for you, paid Amen. For.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to ask everybody in the audience and by television to pray it. Let's repeat it together. Lord Jesus.
I ask you
to forgive me of all my sin. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this day is my day with Jesus Christ. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Stand right there for a minute. Give them a hand clap. You made it! You made it! Every one of you made it. Somebody shout, somebody. Hallelujah, Lord. Now, we have an elder here. He'll give you a little booklet if you need something. Just stand right there for a minute. Tonight, we'll be laying hands on the sick. We've got a lot more time. Ministering and touching. Bring a friend. Share a miracle. Receive one of these beautiful gifts. If you don't know Jesus, you just met him. You can be blessed and touched by that. These people truly love you. Let me look at you for a minute. I've said this thousands of times. I'm going to say it again. Guess what? You're going to spend eternity with me. I'm a nice guy, really. You people watching my television, yes. We're going to heaven together.
Glory.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give them another standing ovation, will you? Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody shout, somebody. Yes. Whew. I get so excited. Let them put that little booklet in your hand. You read it. You'll be blessed. Whether it's a first time salvation, whether it's a rededication. Let me tell you something. Greater is he who's in you. You are more than a conqueror right now. Every devil in hell is trembling because you walked forward and made Jesus the Lord of your life. He certainly did. What a blessing of God. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful?
Amen.